This is an LA Times Studios podcast.
I'm Catherine Herridge, and this is Straight to the Point, our new weekly show. We're partnering with the LA Times Media Group to deliver more investigations and newsmaker interviews that demand accountability. It's a first-of-its-kind collaboration. I have complete editorial control, and I remain an independent journalist. This week on Straight to the Point, the Epstein Files fallout. After the Justice Department released more than 3 million pages of investigative materials, can there still be accountability for the powerful and influential who moved in Jeffrey Epstein's orbit? The biggest case so far is Ghislaine Maxwell, who was convicted of conspiring with Epstein to sexually abuse minors. She has denied the allegations and sought to overturn her conviction. We asked a veteran federal investigator to explain the challenges for today's FBI, the Justice Department, and what are realistic expectations in the Epstein case. So let's get straight to the point. When the public reads these files, they feel kind of sick. I think that's a natural response. And then they ask, how come nothing was done about it? Or can something be done about it now? How would you respond as a seasoned federal investigator?
Well, their reaction is appropriate. It's sickening, the things that have occurred. And the other question is, why hasn't anything been done? Going after him the way it would be for anybody else could have opened a Pandora's box and a national security and global issue that we've really never seen politically and or really any time in history. I would just tell people that you have to look at the totality of this. You may want this released. You may want something to occur. But there's obviously something more here than just a criminal who was supplying women and drugs to the powerful and the elite.
This week, Ghislaine Maxwell, who was convicted of conspiring with Jeffrey Epstein to sexually abuse minor women, is going to be deposed by the House Oversight Committee. What do you think the prospects are as a seasoned investigator that she provides new evidence?
So I think you're going to get a limited amount of information. She may even come there and plead the fifth. But I just do not think it's going to be groundbreaking when she comes there and testifies. Any information that she has that's groundbreaking is probably going to be done one-on-one with an investigator, not in front of a committee or anything like that.
I want to talk about Prince Andrew. And there are emails which refer to this very famous picture of Prince Andrew with Virginia Giuffre. And he repeatedly argued that it was maybe a fake picture, it had been photoshopped. And now we see in the emails, there's a line that says the picture was taken, as I imagine, the writer, that Virginia wanted to show it to her friends and family. Does this open up new lines of inquiry with Prince Andrew?
I think if other information points back to him, it'll give more credibility to looking at him as a potential subject of other crimes. But I think when we look at this specific thing that he's been accused of, I think in the court of public opinion, it's going to be huge. But I think in a court of law, because the statute of limitations have passed on these types of crimes, I don't think it's going to make much difference. I don't see anything coming out of this because of the legal ways that they can skirt around the issues or get out of any further investigation.
There's another email here that suggests that Prince Andrew allegedly caused harm to one or more women. As a federal investigator, could that be pursued at this point?
It depends on what harm means. I mean, death, then there is no statute of limitations on that. But as we've seen, as surprising as it is, sexual assault does have a statute of limitation. So it would depend on time and the veracity of the crime. If this was a regular case and I was a case agent, regardless of whether the statute of limitations had passed, I would still investigate that fully because it may lead to other crimes and other perpetrators of crimes. So you can develop, this is obviously bigger than just Jeffrey Epstein.
There's another document in the Epstein files and it relates to Jeffrey Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell. Their allegations that young girls were in fact buried on one of his properties or even lists of videos. Could that be investigated at this stage?
That could absolutely be investigated. There is no statute of limitations on that. And then also, if they have testimony or some type of witness saying that that is where they were killed. They can then go out and do a search and potentially find a body. It's going to be difficult years later to prove something like sexual assault, but if you can find the evidence that somebody was killed, that's totally different. And again, there's no statute of limitations. But see, this is also, Catherine, why you don't just say, oh, that crime that person committed is dropped off. We're not going to investigate that any further. Because you never know who these loop back around to. Because if this was a society of people abusing women, then, and some of them died, you really don't know who was connected to them. So that's, and who has knowledge of that. So that's why you would continue to look into all these different subjects.
Well, what I'm hearing you say is that you want to run down all of these leads, even if the statute of limitations has expired on a particular crime, because it will help you understand the community of individuals and whether there was, in fact, a conspiracy, and it's an ongoing conspiracy. This email with allegations that young girls were murdered and buried on Epstein's property, does that look like blackmail to you?
It looks like it could be any of several things. It could be blackmail. It could also be that somebody had some type of information and they wanted to make it known somewhere along the way that they had nothing to do with that. We've seen that in other cases where they send an email to somebody just so they can, it can be known that we know that this occurred, but we didn't have anything to do with it. So there's different ways. I don't think there's enough evidence at this point for me to say blackmail or not, but is there a possibility? Of course, there's a possibility.
As an investigator, though, give people an idea of how hard it would be to track down a lead like this so many years after the fact.
Nowadays, it would be totally different because of technology. But in the past, once a certain amount of time and space distances somebody from a crime, it becomes exponentially harder to connect that person with that crime. But again, we keep going back to this. If there's other people and other testimonies, then you can start to link together the overall picture, the totality of the circumstances that surround these types of issues like murder. This is a huge spider web, and investigators should not just stop because of a statute of limitations or because they don't think it was a bad crime. If somebody is nefarious enough to do these things, then there's a chance they may have more information because they're involved in nefarious activity.
Is it fair to assess that because the technology has changed, AI and other machine learning tools, that the FBI is really in a much better position today than even 5 years ago to see if crimes can still be pursued?
This is where AI can help tremendously. Technology can help because it can go through and look for patterns, look for types of wording or even crimes that it could recognize and then help them gather this information together. Again, remember, we're looking at millions of documents and years that have passed. So any type of technology that helps close those gaps will speed up the process as the Bureau goes through this. So yeah, it could be greatly beneficial.
There are emails with or about the Rothschilds, one of the most famous and richest families in the world. There are also audio recordings with a former Israeli prime minister, Ehud Barak. Epstein says to him, you know, make a list of who owes you favors.
Who has IOUs to you? Is that who's the out of the people in the past who you think you're close to? This person owes me a favor. This person owes me his life.
And there are pictures of politicians, in one case, a British politician, in his underwear. Looking at these records, does it look like Jeffrey Epstein was engaged in an intelligence collection operation?
I think there's no doubt. I think the totality of circumstances, one, show that he was connected to people that are way above a normal individual that may be trafficking women or drugs. That's the first and foremost. Because he didn't just go after a famous person. He went after people, or he had connections to people that had connections to national security or huge technological advances. An intel operation would greatly benefit and be able to not only understand what other world leaders are doing, but be able to influence what they're doing.
A lot of these famous, influential people are still alive. How would you, as a federal investigator, probe whether there are crimes that can still be prosecuted?
In this case, when the United States is dealing with other nations on a global national security scale, I think that myself as an investigator, I would not be able to lead this investigation. I just would not be able to say that this is a crime, we need to go after this individual. It's so high, and these people, this is not a conspiracy. You look at the list of these people. There is no way that an investigator in the FBI or just an attorney in the DOJ could say, yes, a crime is here, let's go after him. This has huge political ramifications and global ramifications, and that is way above a typical criminal and way above the decisions that even a supervisor in the FBI would make.
There is an FBI 302 in the Epstein files. An FBI 302 is a summary of an interview, and there are a number of allegations against Harvey Weinstein and Beyonce's husband. Are these leads that would have to be followed up, or are they considered confirmed information?
They could be leads that would be followed up, but there would be follow-up 302s to those leads. So that is information coming in, and then it is officially entered into the case file. So then if it has to be followed and leads have to be pursued, those will generate other 302s.
Okay, so it's an incomplete picture that we have here, at least with this FBI record.
It is a portion of information that we're putting into the file. That's basically what it is.
These files have caused a lot of humiliation and a lot of sadness for very high-profile figures and their families. I think you immediately think of Bill Gates. His wife has said publicly now that this was a chapter of terrible sadness in her life. And I believe Gates has said that he regrets all the time he spent with Jeffrey Epstein. If you were handed the Bill Gates records, how would you tackle it as a seasoned investigator?
Well, I'd be looking at the nature of the person. Who is this individual? What type of nature does he have? What crimes has he committed? Or are they just crimes of character, not of law?
Well, just to be clear, Bill Gates has not been charged or convicted of any crimes. We're just talking about what the approach would be given the new evidence or the newly available information that is in these files. Another record that caught our attention was a laundry list of recreational drugs. They look like party drugs. It's Xanax, Valium, ketamine, Vicodin, so, you know, painkillers, oxycodone. Mm-hmm. When you look at this list as a seasoned investigator, what does it tell you?
Well, it tells me that he was definitely getting specific drugs that are typically associated with partying or relaxing. For somebody who runs or ran an island and other locations where, you know, parties occurred and specific people were coming there for specific reasons, it just looks to me like somebody who is getting a collection just like they would in their cupboard of food that they might need for the weekend vacation. And so I don't know if it goes any further than that. However, who is the pharmacy or the compounding pharmacy that he's discussing with to get these things? That's not a list that you would give a drug dealer typically with a price chart on it or that you would get from a drug dealer. Mm-hmm. So who was this location that he was getting the drugs from? Because it's not typical to have an order sheet from a compounding pharmacy or pharmacy to get those things. Again, dates matter as well, because if this dates for these things are around an area where people were coming to that location, now you have more evidence that you can put together to build this big picture.
Any crimes that you see here, like drug trafficking, anything else like that?
I mean, it could be drug trafficking, especially if the witnesses that were sexually assaulted say that they were given a certain drug, which we do see. If that drug is on that list and it corresponds with that time, that could lead investigators down that path. But not just Jeffrey Epstein, but anybody who was supplying those things for him, knowing that it was not for, you know, an issue for himself, that's illegal. I'm not sure how far they're really looking into this completely because of the ramifications of the people who were involved.
People with a lot of power, a lot of influence, even people who were in the orbit or were world leaders themselves.
Correct.
A search of the Justice Department files online turn up hits for Bill and Hillary Clinton in the Epstein files and Donald Trump. As an investigator, what's the impact on Bill and Hillary Clinton?
Well, I look at all these people and look at what the hits were. If they were communications that spoke about specific things, what their overall relationship was, where they visited, how they basically developing a pattern of the relationship between these people. I mean, look, there's probably tons of names that are mentioned thousands of times because he had communications with all these very powerful people. It doesn't mean that all of them were involved in crimes. President Trump is always going to take huge reputation hits by the left, no matter what. In this circumstance, he's taken huge hits from supporters, actually, because of this and the way the information has been handled.
As a seasoned federal investigator, was it reasonable, was it justified to release these Epstein files?
I don't think justified is any reason. I just don't feel like any of this stuff should be out if there's still a case here.
For investigators, there are so many challenges in the Epstein case, from the statute of limitations, which means that too much time has passed to prosecute a crime, to private settlements with victims that are under seal, among other issues. And then there's the political fallout. We felt it was important to take on the Epstein files and to do it from an investigative and law enforcement perspective. We'll see you next time on Straight to the Point.